Book 4, Chapter 11. How Sebi, king of the same province, ended his life in a monastery. At that time, as the same little book informs us, Sebi, a very devout man, of whom mention has been made above, governed the kingdom of the East Saxons. His mind was set on religious acts, frequent prayer, and pious fruits of almsgiving. He esteemed a private and monastic life better than all the wealth and honors of his kingdom. And he would have long before left his kingdom and adopted that life, had not his wife firmly refused to be divorced from him. For which reason many were of opinion, and often said, that a man of such a disposition ought rather to have been made a bishop than a king. When he had spent 30 years as a king and a soldier of the heavenly kingdom, he fell into great bodily infirmity, of which he afterwards died, and he admonished his wife, that they should then at least together devote themselves to the service of God, since they could no longer together enjoy, or rather serve, the world. Having with much difficulty obtained this of her, he went to Waldhere, Bishop of London, who had succeeded Erkenwald, and with his blessing received the religious habit, which he had long desired. He also carried to him a considerable sum of money, to be given to the poor, reserving nothing to himself, but rather coveting to remain poor in spirit for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. When the aforesaid sickness increased, and he perceived the day of his death to be drawing near, being a man of royal disposition, he began to apprehend lest, when in great pain, at the approach of death, he might commit anything unworthy of his character, either by word or gesture. Wherefore, calling to him the aforesaid Bishop of London, in which city he then was, he entreated him that none might be present at his death, besides the bishop himself and two of his own attendants. The bishop, having promised that he would most willingly grant his request, not long after the man of God composed himself to sleep and saw a consoling vision, which took from him all anxiety concerning the aforesaid uneasiness, and, moreover, showed him on what day he was to end his life. For, as he afterwards related, he saw three men in shining garments come to him, one of whom sat down by his bed, whilst his companions, who had come with him, stood and inquired about the state of the sick man they had come to visit. And he said that the king's soul should quit his body without any pain, and with a great splendor of light, and told him that he should die the third day after. Both these things came to pass, as he had learnt from the vision, for on the third day after, at the ninth hour, he suddenly fell, as it were, into a light slumber, and without any sense of pain, he gave up the ghost. A stone coffin had been prepared for his burial, and when they came to lay him in it, they found his body a span longer than the coffin. Hereupon they chipped away as much of the stone as they could, and made the coffin about 2 inches longer, but not even so would it contain the body. Wherefore, because of this difficulty of entombing him, they had thought either to get another coffin, or else to shorten the body, by bending it at the knees, if they could, so that the coffin might contain it. But heaven interposed, and a miracle prevented the execution of either of those designs. For on a sudden, in the presence of the bishop and Sigard, who was the son of that same king and monk, and who reigned after him jointly with his brother Sufred, and of no small number of men, that coffin was found to fit the length of the body, insomuch that a pillow might even be put in at the head, and at the feet the coffin was 4 inches longer than the body. He was buried in the church of the Blessed Teacher of the Gentiles, by whose doctrine he had learned to hope for heavenly things.